This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Signing number 4 is through the door, and it's Kiefer Moore. Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. Good evening. Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, live on YouTube, Facebook, elsewhere, as we talk, and live after the event, if you can be such a thing, on your podcast engine of choice. We are here to discuss the last day shenanigans of the transfer window and have been since 2015. My name is Craig Finbo, and joining me to look at those last knockings of this transfer window January 2024, as well as taking a look over January as a whole, really. We'll have a look at the dealings that Ipswich Town have done, is Joe Fares. How are you, Joe?
Yeah, good. Like everyone, I've been sitting around waiting for the deal to go through all day, and I left sort of my boys training. I've been over there this night, and from sort of driving across Ipswich, I got back to like 142 messages across Telegram, WhatsApp, and the like. So I assumed it had gone through, and obviously it did.
Yeah, it's been quite a stressful day on picking on social media. People have been at work, but I'm sure they've been dipping in and out of various social media streams, and there's been a few grenades thrown in late afternoon. Cardiff were looking to hijack the deal, apparently, but one of the gents in the Telegram group gave it on relatively good authority that Kiefer Moore had been at the training ground for a lot of the day. And as it transpires through all the photos and bits and pieces like that, it looks like that was actually the case. But you just never know on these final days. Just weird things happen, don't they? And especially when you see someone like Cardiff's name mentioned and him having history with them and done quite well with them, etc., and the Welsh connection, etc., it's sort of just gives you a little bit of butterflies until you get that final confirmation that's across the line, doesn't it?
Yes, but he would not have been the first or the last person to have done all his photos, done all his press, and not signed for the club. I'm sure you can speak to someone at the club and dig out some photos of maybe like Connor Goldson or someone like that standing there in an Ipswich shirt, all signed, ready to go, and then for whatever reason, deals just don't happen. If, like I say, he'd have done all his press and everything at Ipswich today, but had this Turkish guy failed a medical, all of a sudden those photos and
he's winging it down the A12 to play at the London Stadium against West Ham.
Yeah, they wouldn't have seen the light of day, those photos. So yeah, so just being here is not enough. You need to get it signed and announced, and we're now in that position.
So welcome to everybody who's joining us. There's an awful lot of you here, so I'll just ping up some messages as I'm chatting along, but please get your comments in the chat in regards to the signing in general. As I say, what we'll do towards the end is we'll go through January as a whole, and when we do, please give your thoughts on that and even give it a rating if you want to. We'll use old school A level and GCSE ratings, not these new fangled 1 to 9 and bits and pieces. A B C D E, if you wouldn't mind. I'll even let you have a plus and a minus there. But before we get any further, Rich has told me just to quickly use this for the last time this January, as February, we're led to believe, because the reason why we are here is to talk about, and this is a bit of retro vintage Blue Monday. We're here to talk about Joe. Do you want to give him his full moniker?
Kiefer Roberto Francesco Moore.
Correct. Well done. Well remembered. That was me, you know, leaving you in the lurch there straight away. So yes, he's signed this afternoon, evening. I'll get up his photo here. Kiefer Roberto Francesco Moore returns to town after a stellar 11 substitute appearances, was it, in his previous Town career in 2016-2017, having signed from Forest Green Rovers reserves. It was a strange, actually. I remember being in the fan zone when he signed. I had a mate who used to work at Town, and he came over and found me in the fan zone and said, "Jesus, God, I've just walked past this guy. This guy just walked past me in the corridor, and he is absolutely massive." Mind you, my mate's only about 5'6", 5'7", so most people are. But it transpires, and I think we're like looking at all the Wikipedia. Who the hell could this be? This striker, this massive striker. And it turns out he was coming from, Forest Green Reserves, poor guy. He didn't have a particularly, star-spangled career at Ipswich Town first time round, Joe. It was just a case that he looked a little bit like a fish out of water, didn't he?
Yeah, and I remember you texting me or messaging me with, this is who's signing for us today, because it was when we were looking to replace Daryl Murphy, wasn't it? And this was like at the start of the window, and it's like, well, this isn't the replacement, this is just another signing, and we'll sign someone else later in the window. And I don't think we signed anyone later in the window. And I remember you send it through, and it's like Kiefer Roberto Francesco Moore, who's currently couldn't get in the Forest Green team, so was out on
Yeovil,
loan.
Wasn't he?
He was on loan at Torquay.
Oh, Torquay
from Forest Green, because he couldn't get in the Forest Green team at the time, and we'd signed him for 20,000. And ironically, now we're probably paying him £20,000 a week to be here, which was a thing when we first signed him. And it just seemed a bizarre signing and a huge jump for him, which he struggled with. But he went across to, is it Rotherham he went to first? I think he went to, so in the summer, he signed for Rotherham,
didn't he?
Went, and he was there for the whole of their pre-season. So he went across there, and I think he scored like 6 or 7 goals in pre-season. And by the January transfer window, he was the hottest property in League One, because he got 15, 16 goals in the first part of the season, and there was talk of whether he's going to come back here. And I think he just got moved, his loan got moved to Barnsley, and then we sold him subsequently for £750,000 that summer, which was a good fee at the time. We bought him for 20,000, sold him for that. And at the time we had David McGoldrick, Martin Waghorn, Joe Garner, Freddie Sears. He wasn't going to be, or Brett Pittman even at the time, he wasn't going to be playing much for us. And we got a good fee from him, and he's gone on and had a fantastic career, really, isn't
he?
He was 24 when he was sort of cast off by Forest Green in the National League. And now he's 31. He's got sort of 50, 60 championship goals under his belt. He's got Premier League goals and Premier League appearances under his belt. He's played at a World Cup. He's played a lot of times for Wales and has become a key player for them. And just an incredible career, really, isn't it? When you see from where he's come from to where he is now.
Yeah, absolutely. He actually says in his comments, and I'll get your thoughts on some of the further future comments in a sec, but I remember my first spell here, and I've gone away and worked very hard on myself during that time, so I'm delighted to be back. And yeah, you say exactly that, Jane. He must have worked so incredibly hard, and to be fair to him, he must have had some very decent coaches to have dragged him up from what we all saw. You know, you'd have done well to find anybody in the crowd at the time who saw those appearances and those performances thinking, yeah, do you know what? I reckon in a, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years' time, he's going to be back here. And as you say, we're going to be paying him the thick end of £20,000 a week, this boy, because he's going to be an international footballer. So, you know, fair dues to everyone that's been involved in his career since. Kieran McKenna, we are delighted to have signed a striker with strong championship pedigree, as well as experience in the Premier League and at international level. Kiefer will bring some important, very important technical and physical attributes to the squad. And Mark Ashton, we're delighted to have completed a move for a player who was always our number one target. We're delighted to have got it across the line during a challenging window with not a lot of movement across the league. So just taking those points probably in reverse order, Joe. Mark Ashton, knowing what little we do know, was he always our number one target, do you reckon, in this window?
It's difficult to say, isn't it? Because we've bidded a big fee for Sam Gallagher, sort of the best part of £2 million by what we've told. But from what I understand, the Sam Gallagher deal was done almost, and he was due to go out and join the squad when they were in Abu Dhabi on that training break. And then it broke down at that point, and it's sort of been revisited. But I think Ipswich have walked away from that one a bit earlier than has been reported. So we always knew that Kiefer Moore was going to, if he left Bournemouth, was going to be right at the very, very end of the window. So it might be that when we sat down and put our targets together at the start of the month, we put Kiefer Moore as number one and Sam Gallagher as number two, or 1A and 1B. But we thought, well, we can get Sam Gallagher on the 16th of January, where we can't get Kiefer Moore until the 31st. Are we willing to risk it? Do we want to take that route? So I think there is, you can argue, no one will ever know who the number one target was other than those inside the club. But it doesn't seem to me that he's a downgrade on Sam Gallagher, if that makes sense. Maybe the terms of Gallagher's deal were better, that we wanted someone on a permanent transfer and he's sort of out of contract and a good age, but we'll never know. But signing Al Hamady permanently, having George Hirst contracted for another three seasons, maybe alone suits us better in that. But there's just, yeah, like I said, there's a lot of talk about him compared to George Hirst, and George Hirst has been brilliant for us, but ultimately Kiefer Moore is a better player than George Hirst, isn't he? He might not be a better fit for the system that we've played, but this is a guy who's an international, who's a Premier League player, where George Hirst, this is his first season starting games regularly in the Championship.
Volume of goals in the Championship is far superior, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's just, I think people are looking at what maybe Kiefer Moore can't do. Oh, he can't press from the front like George Hirst does. But he can do a hell of a lot more other things there. He's not Freddie Ladapo, who was struggling at this level on sort of the all-round game of it. The parts of Freddie Ladapo's game that were good in League One were just almost non-existent in the Championship. Well, whilst Hirst has got some attributes that Moore doesn't have, Moore has got a hell of a lot of attributes that Hirst doesn't have on the flip side. So it feels like there's almost just a bar of quality that you've got to clear to be able to play at the top end of this division, which Kiefer Moore has cleared, where there's not many other players available that have.
No, exactly that. And that was moving on to the second point of, the second point of Mark Ashton's quote was, it's a challenging window with not a lot of movement across the leagues. And that's been evident, hasn't it? People have sort of been waiting for the last day or two of the window thinking, right, it just needs one or two moves to set the dominoes going. But as things stand at 12 minutes past nine on Thursday, the 1st of February, those dominoes haven't started to fall yet. So I think if you look at it as a whole, we've done well to get a deal of this type through the door. Certainly when you look at other clubs still scrabbling around looking for their own central striker, because there just simply aren't that many around. You say about Sam Gallagher, I think maybe they did as a favour Blackburn in a certain extent by slamming that door shut on us pretty early and not really giving us an inkling that it was ever going to open up again, did they?
No, and whilst we held out hope that it would, you have to effectively get two or three deals going through the whole month. You can't just put all your eggs in one basket and if that fails, then move on to the next target, because the next targets are gone when you moved on to them. And whilst, like Kiefer Moore says, this has been a long time coming, this move, we've been talking about it through the whole window, that's what needed to happen. Had we signed Sam Gallagher, then those conversations are forgotten about. But had we been only chasing Sam Gallagher, and then all of a sudden this week we decide we need to sign Kiefer Moore and go after him, well, Cardiff, Sunderland, Watford have put in all that groundwork and we're now at the back of the queue effectively. So yeah, it's a really, really difficult window to manage, but I think great credit needs to go to the club for coming out of the window with what we've come out of it with.
Yeah. Well, so we'll go through the window as a whole a little bit later on. But in terms of, excuse me, I've got this poxy cough for the last 3 or 4 weeks. This won't go away. Kieran McKenna, we are delighted to have, obviously we've done that, we're delighted to have signed a striker, et cetera, et cetera. But he says he's got some very important technical and physical attributes. What are they? And I suppose, as a result, do we now have our starters and our finishers?
Well, I know there's talk about his sort of pace. He's not the pacest player that's running, but he's playing in a Bournemouth side. They're not. He's not playing in Sam Allardyce's Bolton in the Premier League. He's playing for Bournemouth, which are a very good side, a sort of mid-table Premier League side at the moment, aren't they, under Airola? And he's still involved regularly for them, not playing a huge amount of minutes, but he's playing in the Premier League this month. He's playing the FA Cup games and is very much part of it. And he's obviously a lot more mobile than I think he's given credit for, but ultimately he's a brilliant hold-up player, isn't he? If you get the ball to him, it sticks and it will open up space for our the smaller players who are really our goal scorers. And when you look at something like how good our set pieces are, how we organise these set pieces, we've now got a huge threat on the end of them. And it's not necessarily about him being on the end of them. It's about him being able to occupy defenders, because you can't leave Keeper Moore just with one on him, because he's a scary prospect there, which means that you're probably going to have 6'6" Keeper Moore dragging defenders about. So 5'6" Connor Chaplin wins headers and gets clear in the box, aren't you? And he's going to... When you know his goal record compared to George Hurst's, when we use that number 9 to drag defenders out to open up the space behind them in open play, he's going to keep the defenders honest, because you can't leave him there, because he's got such a good record and such a good finisher goal scorer at this level.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as Michael says here in the comment, if we're stuck in a attacking against the low press, you can always use the long ball or two to get defence on the back foot, which is right. And you put in so many crosses, like similar to what we did against Maidstone at the weekend. You just need a presence in the box somewhere just to create a bit of panic and a bit of chaos for the ball to fall to someone else a lot of the time, if nothing else. Just a quick recap on his career since he left town. You touched upon it there, Joe. You're right. He went to Rotherham, scored 13 goals in 20 appearances. These are all league stats. 13 goals in 22 for Rotherham, 21 in 51 for Barnsley, 10 in 36 for Wigan, 25 in 64 for Cardiff, and then had his move to Bournemouth, where he scored 4 in 4 in the Championship for Bournemouth, and has played 35 times in the Premier League for them. So you look at those stats overall, he's pretty much a goal every 2 or 3 games, which isn't too shabby, certainly in the Championship, is it, for what else he does give to the team. But then also, as you pointed out, internationally, 39 appearances and 12 goals. So overall, thick end of 250 games and the thick end of almost 100 goals. So I would have thought, as looking at other transfers that have or haven't happened, it does look like it's probably as good as we could have hoped for, really, I would suggest. How do you think it's going to affect Al Hamady? Obviously, it now hopefully takes a bit of pressure off and doesn't... We now don't have the need to throw him in straight away, do we?
I think it's a brilliant signing for Al Hamady's purposes, because when we spoke about that on Monday night, there was the concern that he could end up as the only striker, and you've got Caden Jackson, a lot of pressure on him from the fans, and he's not going to be able to find his feet at this level, which is a big step up from League Two. It's going to be a big jump for him. Now we have the experienced number 9 who can play every game, and Al Hamady can be introduced to the team at sort of to suit him more, 20 minutes here, 30 minutes there, and say, I think it would just be a massive help to him as well. And the last thing you want to see, if you're a defender who's been battered and bruised by Keeper Moore for 65 minutes, is the sort of pace, power and sort of acceleration of Ali Al Hamady coming on. So I think they could make a really good sort of 1-2 punch as a striking pair, the way we use them with starters and finishers.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And as you say, if you're bringing up, you've now got the option to bring on, and we'll have a very, very quick chat about Preston in a bit, about whether there's some questions about whether he'll start or not. As you say, you're bringing on, potentially bringing on Jackson, Sarmiento, Hutchinson, Al Hamady at 60, 65 minutes against some tiring. They're starting to get some serious pace and power in that team. If they're not starting, they're going to come on and make, you would hope, make a bit of a hell of a difference from the bench. Some very comments along the lines of the Davis connection potentially, Joe. How Kiefer Moore can interact with Leif Davis from the left wing, as you say, from open play and also from set pieces. But you think predominantly he'll be a decoy, but a willing occupier of central defenders on the opposition.
Well, yeah, it can't be anything but a help to have somebody with his penalty box presence in there for anyone putting balls into the box, whether it's sort of Wes Burns on one side, Leif Davis on the other, and I think Connor Chaplin, Nathan Broadhead, Jeremy Sarmiento, all these guys will be delighted to see him sign, because it's going to really help them, and it's really sort of puts us back in that position where we were really big attacking threat. I know we looked at the start of the window, and George Hurst was really the only striker in the squad because Ladapo wasn't doing well. Dane Scarlett hadn't done a huge amount. Caden Jackson was playing there. And it's almost like we just really wanted to get that second striker to really help out, because Hurst was sort of being flogged a little bit, sort of run 88, 90 minutes in the game. And if you look at the striking position as a whole, I think we've come out of the window stronger than when we went into it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Excuse me. I suppose one of the comments here is about, apologies, I can't find who it is that said it, about learning off of Alhamidi, learning off of Moore. But I just wondered, just going back to your point about the effect on others, whether, I don't suppose it's any real coincidence, is that Nathan Broadhead's form has tailed off a little bit since Hurst has sort of coincided with the Hurst injury, really, hasn't it? And I suppose that I appreciate he's been playing up front and nominally out of position for some of that time, but he just hasn't seemed to have that spark. You just don't know how Hurst's absence has affected all of the three that sit behind him, do you?
No, and I think Broadhead's the one who seems to be most sort of struggling with it, as you say, and he's the one that picks up the pockets of space there. And if the game is sort of tightened up a little bit because they're able to push the defence is able to push 2-3 yards higher, that's a big difference where for the space that Nathan Broadhead picks up. And like I say, we're now in a position where we've got the two new strikers come in, and one thing is also important at this stage of the season is they're both players who are match fit as well. They're both players who have been, well, in Ali Alhamidi's place playing every week, and Kiefer Moore's place being in and around it at a Premier League team, they should be able to come in and hit the ground running, as opposed to sometimes you sign a player at this time of year and that, like Massimo Luongo last year, for example, hasn't played all in the first half of the season, is totally out of favour at his club, and it takes a little while to get them up to speed.
Yeah, absolutely. What I say we'll do, we'll have a little chat about the transfer dealings as a whole in January, and also have a quick look just to give people an indication of what other teams have or haven't been able to do themselves over the course of January, because it has been quite a dry January in more ways than one. But before we do that, we'll just go through a couple of plugs, because due to the transfer window slamming shut in February rather than January, the pre-match show isn't this evening. Sorry for those of you who are pining for your stats and bits and pieces about Preston North End. That will now be coming out tomorrow. It's been recorded. Rich and Seb have recorded it. That will be out tomorrow morning, I believe. So keep an eye out for that, again, on your podcast engines of choice and also on YouTube. The flagship hasn't moved. That will be, as always, 8 p.m. Sunday night. And I'm led to believe, Joe, it is you, I, and Mikey, because we're all off to the match on Saturday.
I don't think it's me, but I think it's Seb, wasn't it? But
oh, was it?
We'll see.
You're going to the match as well, though?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to the match. Sorry, apologies, everyone. I've got my wires crossed. But I know Seb is definitely going, I am definitely going, and Mikey is venturing north. He tends to do this, you know. He's a sly old character. He has his roots firmly in the south, but he does tend to go to quite a few northern away days. So, yeah, please, you know, if you see Seb, Mikey, or myself, come and say hello, give us a wave, have a chat. But so we'll be back on Sunday at 8 p.m. live as ever. And also, our friends at NordVPN, we've got a promo with them. I believe it's something like 3 or 4 months free if you sign up via, hold on, let me get this right, nordvpn.com/Blue Monday. As I say, I think it's a 3 or 4 month free offer. You activate it via your BM link and then, yeah, you support the podcast in the process. There's a money back, 30-day money back guarantee if you don't feel like going through it, but you just give it a go and give yourself a bit of security when you're browsing around online. You pretend you're in Australia or New Zealand or America and watch Netflix in those countries and things like that. Purely legal.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You win. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Cool. So what we'll do now, if I get up, Joe did some work for us here in that he went through the transfer dealings predominantly in regards to strikers that have happened throughout the window for other teams in the Championship. And apologies for those of you who are listening rather than watching. But you can see from this list here, Joe, and I'll let you go through the list and certainly go through the first two names on the list. There's not an awful lot that's gone on. And if you take away Emmanuel Dennis going back to Watford this time on loan, you would think from an outside look in that Ipswich Town have done some very, very, very decent business in this window from a striking perspective. You're on mute, mate.
Yeah, so I was pressing it. I think there's an argument that we've, like I say, you take Emmanuel Dennis out there, but we've probably signed the two best strikers in the window. In Kiefer Moore is definitely up there as a player with a proven record at this level. And then Ali Alhamidi is probably the one player in the EFL that everyone was looking after. And we signed him on a permanent transfer where, like I say, you look at Rhys Healy, he went to Watford for £1 million in the summer and he's gone to Huddersfield for £2 million now. And Radulovic has, I think he signed for a decent fee at Huddersfield, but he's coming in from the Finnish league. So it's a big jump there. Then you've got Gidu, the old Bristol, I don't know how to pronounce it, but he was the guy that Bristol City spent 8 figures on back in the Mark Ashton era, and he's come back on loan to Cardiff. But he's a good player, but he's now 32, I think, now.
Yeah.
And you've got Billy Sharp on a free transfer. Noah Ohio has gone on loan to Hull, but I don't know if he'll even play through the middle. And then Michael Obafemi was a sort of a big name. He signed for Burnley for a good fee from Swansea. Never really played for them. He's come back on loan to Millwall. Michael Frey has gone to QPR. I don't think he scored a goal for 18 months. Ike Ugbo had the first half of the season on loan at Cardiff and will now did nothing there and will now spend the second half of the season at Sheffield Wednesday. Andy Wyman's had a good career at Bristol City, but again, he's an older player. He's gone on loan to West Brom.
Yeah.
And then Callum Marshall is probably the one player that no one really knows how he's going to do. It's his first senior loan, but I think he scored over a goal a game in the under-21s league for West Ham. So he's sort of seen as potentially somebody that could go on. But when you look at, I said, when you look at that list, you've got two real, well, probably three real standout names in there, and we've managed to sign two of them. So I think Kiefer Moore, you could argue, is the best player on that list. And I think after that, you've got the most exciting permanent transfer on that list as well in Ali Alhamady. So I think that just shows what the market's been like this year. And we've heard all through it, like Cardiff want a striker, Watford want a striker,
Sunderland want a striker.
And
still do at the time of recording.
Still do. And we're the team that's gone out and got two. And I think we've stolen a march on everyone with Alhamady. And we've now nailed the number one Premier League loan player into the Championship.
There you go, everyone. Are you feeling positive now? So as I say, you know, you're still seeing Sunderland scrabbling around and the Sunderland fanzines tweeting that they're now getting desperate, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, just it sort of puts things into perspective. Elsewhere in another universe, I noticed that Joe Garner has signed for Oldham to team up with James Norwood.
Oldham have about 10 strikers. Like, there's a kind of speech as an Oldham fan.
Andy Ritchie, Ian Marshall, they're still hanging around.
We've just signed another striker, but fair play to them. But that's not a defence. It's not an attack for the faint-hearted, is it? There's going to be a huge amount of S-housery going on from those two up front, isn't there? Just imagine. But yeah, that is always a hugely sort of competitive lead to get out of. I think Paul Cook's Chesterfield will be promoted relatively soon. And then there's going to be the 16 playoffs they have there will just be a battle royale to get out of, because there's some serious quality and some serious money in that league.
Yeah, absolutely. So just as we'll now recap the January transfer window as a whole. So as I said before, if you want to give us your ratings, if you want to stick some workings out in there as well, please do. You know, don't copy each other. I need to know that it's your own answer. So put your workings out with them as well, if you wish. But just as a reminder, early in the transfer window, Sarmiento came in on loan from West Brom. And I think it's safe to say, Joe, that he's made an instant impact and has done everything we could have asked for him, really, hasn't he?
Yeah, he looks really, really good, doesn't he? And it's a surprise that he didn't get as much game time at West Brom, but I think they play a more defensive formation. So you look at how Sander Carlos Corberan, they go 1-0 up and then they just see the game out, really, from that point, where you look at how McKenna likes his team to play with the license that they give, and him and Amari Hutchinson look like they're going to form sort of brilliantly together. And as it turns out, Nathan Broadhead has sort of struggled a little bit in recent weeks, as we've mentioned before. So maybe Sarmiento, I think, will be pushing for a start. If he's not going to get one at the weekend, he'll be pushing for one soon. I think there was talk that he was due to start one of the previous games. I can't remember which one. Maybe Leicester. He was due to start that, but didn't in the end. But I think he's one that's going to really fly from here. And if the person who broke the story, the Venezuelan, was it Ecuadorian journalist. The Ecuadorian journalist with 700,000 followers who had photos from behind the scenes of what was going on before anyone else did it, also noted that in a deal that the loan would be extended for another 12 months if we got promoted. So it would become a Premier League loan if we went up. And I don't think we've got any reason to doubt that source, because they were the ones that had the info. So it seems that, yeah, Sarmiento could be here for the next 18 months. And if he is, we're going to be in a great place, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I suppose there is a chance, albeit a slim chance, that should we not get promoted, but hopefully hitting towards the top end of the Championship again next year, that they may well look to get him out to us again next year regardless. So who knows? And then pretty soon after that, Lewis Travis came in, and harking back again to the pod that Dave and Rich did when he signed with the guy from Blackburn. Apologies, can't remember his name. He's been steady, solid, and an able deputy for the times that Morsy hadn't been around. How do you see him being used further forward going from now to the end of the season?
An interesting one, isn't it? Because it did seem at first like it was going to sort of be Morsey or Travis along with Luongo or Taylor, but I don't know if it's going to quite work out like that now. And ultimately, Travis upgrades us in that position when you look at the players there, sort of Don Ball, Lee Evans are there, and he just looks a big upgrade on both of them when they're fit. He's got 200-odd championship games under his belt. He's a good age. He's a leader. He's a talker on the pitch, isn't he? And I think he'll be a player that comes up with some big contributions for us over the remains of the season. But I think it's interesting when you look at what Kieran McKenna's done for Sam Morsey as a player. Like Morsey was a guy that I don't think anyone thought he had this level of quality to his game. Everyone knew he was a good player and would do this and a great leader, but I don't think anyone knew that he would turn into this player that is just dribbling the ball, moving up the pitch, passing through the lanes. And you just think, can he do the same with Lewis Travis? Because Travis has probably got a much better footballing education, a lot more games at a lot higher level at a lot younger age than Sam Morsey had. So yeah, it's a exciting one for him, I think.
Yeah, and it's quite interesting, I suppose, from his perspective, because at the moment, obviously, it's only a loan until the end of the season, and you don't know the where's and why fours of why he came here. Was he coming here to get some football under his belt, hoping that the manager that doesn't fancy him back at Blackburn isn't there come the summer, and therefore he can go back to Blackburn and carry on his career there? Or is he actually looking to make this a permanent move? And if he wasn't looking to make it a permanent move, he's now looked at the level of coaching and, as you say, the progression that Sam Morsey has made, potentially from a lower starting point, maybe, arguably, and thinks, actually, I'll have some of that, and he can be transformed himself as a player. It's a question I asked the ex-professional that's currently a subscriber in Telegram, actually. And then, as you've spoken about, Al Hamady, you had the pod earlier in the week to discuss that. And as you write this out, I think we're all just intrigued to see how that goes in terms of the, not necessarily the instant impact, but how well he'll acclimatise to the step up, which is still a decent step up in quality, you would have thought. But then saying that, there are people who are more qualified than us who seem very excited by it. The guys from the Not the Top 20 pod are glowing about the transfer. I know Sam Parkin on the pod that he does with Adrian Feller. I can't think what it's called now. But he was really, really praising Ipswich for that, for the Al Hamady deal. So that's going to be an absolutely intriguing one to see how it goes between now and the end of the season and then going forward. Couple of bits of news about outbounds. Elkin Baggett's gone on loan to Bristol Rovers today till the end of the season. He just needs games, Joe, doesn't he? That second half of the season last year was sort of wasted at Cheltenham.
Yeah, and he's not had a huge amount of games in the first half of the season with us, as he's played a few of the cup games. He got on the score sheet against Fulham, didn't he, in the Carabao Cup at Portman Road. But this is hopefully a really good move for him. They've got Matt Taylor there, who likes to play football out from the back. Mm. And I think the competition there for left side of centre-back is George Friend, who's sort of 35 now, isn't a particularly expansive ball player. So, yeah, he's got a real opportunity to go in there. They look mired in mid-table, so they look like they can just... there's no way they're going to drop all the way down there, and they're going to have to go on a hell of a run push for the playoffs. So it's interesting to see how he gets on there. But if he can go there and get 15, 16 games under his belt, then that'd be a brilliant move for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And then one final little snippet that came out this evening is reported by Stuart Watson, I believe, from the East Anglian, is regards to Brandon Williams. And we are led to believe that he is over his illness and will be hopefully returning to town at some point. And there's been a lot of comments from guys about the return of Williams. Jack here says that Moore looks like a brilliant signing, but Williams staying could be just as good. Another one here from Paul Westy. Williams has so much potential. We've seen glimpses, could be a real star in the next 18 games. Neil, fit and firing Williams will be like a new signing, et cetera, et cetera. Another one from Colin. Williams will come back fired up. let's just work on the assumption from the news that we've given that he does come back. It would be a huge fillip to everyone, wouldn't it, Joe? And also potentially give Harry Clark a bit of a rest if he comes back and his head's in the right place and his body's in the right place and he's good to go.
Yeah, it'll be more than a fillip. It's very, very important that his head is in the right place and he is able to come back and contribute, because he is effectively the right back and the left back cover, isn't he, when you look at how we've played previously. And it's not just cover on his game. As we saw in the autumn, he was superb and is a player that will push Harry Clark to potentially start games ahead of him and keep his place in the team. If he could get going like he was around the time of the sort of Preston game, then yeah, he's going to be really good. But we just haven't seen, since the West Brom game, we just haven't seen him either enough or at his best. He's been missing a long, long time now, really, hasn't he? It's sort of the best part of 3 months now where he's just not contributed anything to the football club. So it's feels a big risk for me that we are sort of going with him. It might be that we didn't have a choice, that we weren't able to get out of it. We don't know on that side, but it's sort of a high risk, high reward thing, because if he can come back and be as he was, he's going to be a brilliant player for us. But if he doesn't get back and he's just AWOL for the next 4 months, it's really puts a lot of pressure on the squad.
Yeah, and I suppose that's, we haven't heard about Cameron Humphreys going out on loan, but I don't suppose it's something that they can allow to happen while we still need a little bit of cover in and around the squad. Just one quick question here. Forgive me if I can't find it. Norman, there you go, Joe. So after all of that, those four that we went through, at this moment in time, without the knowledge of what's going to happen over the next February, March, April, May, three and a half months, who would you rate as our best January signing?
I think it's got to be Kiefer Moore, just because we were so desperate to replace George Hurst. It's been so required, as we've seen sort of Caden Jackson, Nathan Broadhead up front. And not only that, we then signed Ali Alhamady. And so I think it's a brilliant signing for what we need in the squad. It's also a brilliant signing to help Ali Alhamady for over the next 4 months as well, settle into Ipswich Town and settle into Championship football. So it's him for that reason. But I think that maybe Jeremy Sarmiento might be the one that gets us off our seat the most over the next 4 months.
And he's got the best song currently, until someone comes up with a Kiefer Moore equivalent. All right, I'm going to go through some of your ratings now. And while I do that, and I'll read them out, please don't forget to like and subscribe. Click your thumbs up button. That'd be fantastic. And Joe, you've got a bit of time off to have a sip of your drink and think about what your rating will be for this January transfer window. Michael here has gone for a B-. I like the way we sign players and have already had a first loan. Yeah. Colin's gone an A and a thumbs up from Colin for Mark Ashton. Guy here, Ips Rich, recognize it, never seen him before. B+ for Rich, likes Travis, albeit he'll be second fiddle to Luongo. Sarmiento, as he rightly says, is already making an impression. Alhamady, a prospect who might contribute more than we think, and more the experienced head. Yeah, absolutely. Polecat has gone for an A, and as he says there, or he or she says there, just referencing other clubs in the transfer window, there's been very, very little going on. As Joe said, to be able to get two strikers across the line when some clubs are struggling to find just the one is pretty impressive. David has gone for an A+ by Easter. So, yeah, he's obviously hoping that the Sarmiento out of the sea and Joe's comment about Kiefer Moore being our best signing come to fruition. Nick's gone for a B+. And it actually says Gallagher or Stansfield instead of Alhamady, he would have got an A. But I suppose, Joe, to that, we were talking about it again in Telegraph about there being a list of strikers who we wanted. And I was sort of arguing, well, there may well have been two lists of strikers, because you needed the Stansfield Alhamady type striker and the Gallagher Kiefer Moore stroke Hurst type striker. And ideally, you'd get one of each, which we ended up having done so. So, and from the Stansfield perspective, it was only ever going to be a loan, wasn't it, rather than a permanent?
It sounds like there was a bit of hope that we could get him on a permanent when it first, when the talk first came around. But I think as the window started, it seemed to get away from that, and it would have just been a loan. And I think because Hurst got in, I think what happened is George Hurst got injured, and the injury was so severe that it totally ripped up all the plans that we'd had at the start of the at the end of the last window. I think we knew what we wanted, and maybe it was a Jay Stansfield to add to it. But once George Hurst was injured, you then had to think we've only got one loan spot left, because we must have been quite far down the line with Sarmiento or Travers at the start. So you've only got one loan spot to use. So you then need to use that on a Kiefer Moore, because as we found out, doing a deal for a Sam Gallagher is incredibly difficult to do. So that means you then move it. Maybe that Stansfield can't happen because of that. So you then have to look at an alternative option on permanent transfer.
There's
so much juggling, so much spinning of plates to go. But I think you just have to look at the squad at the end of the window, and which is what we're doing. And I think, everyone's saying, I think the lowest we've seen is a B+, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What about yourself, Joe? What are you going for?
I'll go for an A-, because I think that I don't think we'll ever top January 2023 and the window we had there. So that's got to be the A+ standard. So that's an A+. Yeah, A or A-. I think we've come out the window in really good shape. You look at the, like I say, my only concern is over the fullback position, and Brandon Williams staying there on that. Is he going to be able to stay there? Because if he isn't able to get back, and we're having to rely on Harry Clark going to left back and Axel Tuanzebe or playing right back, then we just lose a lot there.
Yeah. I'm just going to get up what Joe has done for us again. Joe's done a lot of, in the absence of Seb not being here for you on a Thursday evening, everybody, Joe's done some research in advance of the show in his stead. And it's been up, asked a few times. I will get the questions up here. In regards to the squad size. Now, Joe's done, and I've listed it up here on the screen again for the people who are watching. Apologies for those who aren't, but it's basically a list of the squad. Nick's saying here that we're now at 26 and imagines Aluko won't be registered. And HCH has asked the question, who gets deregistered? 26 players in a 25-man squad. And as you can see here on the screen, Joe has very kindly listed them out for us. What happens, Joe? Who misses the boat towards between now and the end of the season?
Well, for me, there's four players listed who I don't think will play any/many minutes over the course of the season. So you're looking at Janoi Donassian, Dominic Ball, Lee Evans, and Shawnee Aluko. And they're for different reasons. Some are injuries there. But for me, Janoi Donassian, he has versatility. He can do a job. It's just we don't know how bad his injuries are. We might find out he needs an operation. If he does, then that's probably him done for the season. Don Ball, I don't see that you wouldn't register him. He's fit. He's been contributing when he has played, but he's just dropped down the pecking order by the signings we've made. I think he may have been one that could have gone out, but that obviously hasn't happened or isn't happening unless something crazy happens in the next 75 minutes. And so it leaves you with Sonny Aluko and Lee Evans. Lee Evans, from what I hear, should be back sort of early March. So it's not as long as some people expect it to be. And if that is the case, he's going to be back in early March. I think he's got more chance of contributing than Shawnee Aluko, who sadly looks like his race is run at the level we need him to play at. He started off well against Maidstone, but he sort of played that sort of 15-20 minutes and then sort of struggled through the game from there. He's only played in one league game this season, and that was when he came on for the sort of final 10 minutes against QPR at home when we had six players out. So he is a long way off playing. He's a player who has shown great quality, but I just don't think he's athletically can keep up with what we need when you see how much energy we play with as a team. He just doesn't have that. So I think he's obviously a very valued member of the squad, and he's almost working as an analyst now. But I think his race is run with regards to actually contributing in the league.
Yeah. David, thank you very, very much for your continued support of the podcast, my friend. As ever, thank you very, very much. And hopefully we'll see you over in the UK and Ipswich very, very soon. Just a quick one here from LG. So, apologies, LG. I've seen it a couple of times, but there were so many comments. They've been flying up the screen and I've missed it, but I've caught one. Have you heard anything about Nathan McGinley, Joe? I don't even know who Nathan McGinley is, let alone whether he was
It does seem like it's a name that people have been trying to pump on TWTD as a... I don't know. I think he's left Partick Thistle on a free transfer to sign for Dumbarton. I heard we offered
Nathan McGinley.
I heard we offered him a mega contract to move down, but the lure of Dumbarton was too much for us. So Kieran McKenna spent a lot of time going back up and down to Scotland, but hasn't been able to get one over the line, sadly.
The one, actually, now, in light of that news, if everyone just wants to revise their ratings of the transfer window, knowing that we didn't manage to get Nathan McGinley across the line, or I'll just automatically deduct, I don't know, a couple of grades and knock it all down. So, we're pretty much almost there, I think. Thank you to everyone who's been joining the chat. As you can probably imagine, it's been quite a busy one. I think there's probably been a bit of relief that we managed to get that second striker over the line. I think there's been a bit of positivity flying around. Good news, David, over for the Birmingham game. Well, hopefully we'll get to see you there. Just a quick one in advance of the weekend. I know I say that the pre-match show is on, going to be released tomorrow. The guys have already got it in the can. Before we hear from the experts, Rich and Seb, about what they believe is going to happen, a question here from Lee. Joe, does Kiefer Moore start at Preston North End because he has a feeling that he'll start with Caden Jackson?
It does seem most likely that Jackson will start because he's obviously been in the building and they've been working up to that game this week. If you think Kiefer Moore, it's Thursday, it doesn't feel like it, but it's Thursday night now, isn't it? So his first day training is going to be tomorrow, but that we'll be travelling up to Preston tomorrow, won't we? So I think we're flying up there actually in the morning. So there hasn't been any chance for him to even have a training session with his team. And the way we are, I'd imagine that it will be Jackson start, unless Al Hamadi got back sort of quickly from Qatar and has maybe pushed for a start there. But yeah, if I had to put my last dollar on it, I would bet on Caden Jackson. But as we move into next week, we've then got a full week on the training ground next week, don't we, leading into the West Brom and then Millwall games.
Yeah, brilliant. And as Richard's put here, trampling on the toes of the transfer deadline chat, the pre-match show will be out at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. So you'll be able to listen to it on the second half of your paper rounds tomorrow morning, everybody. Well, thank you very much, as I say, for joining us. It's been a lot of people in the chat. Thank you very, very much for your comments. Hopefully, predominantly Joe has done us proud in terms of reviewing the signing of Kiefer Moore and going over the January transfer dealings in general. As I say, pre-match will be tomorrow. And flagship will be as per normal on Sunday night at 8 p.m. Thank you very much for your time, Joe.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for everyone for joining in as well. And I'm sure all Ipswich fans will be sleeping easier tonight knowing that we've got that sort of experience number 9 in.
Super. Cheers. Take care, all. See you soon.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.